It is 12:05. Hi there, I'm Mary Lynn.
I'm Diane Ducey.
Happy Monday, everyone. And on Mondays, we like to do something motivational. Motivation Mondays. You know, something to get our brains going, get rid of those Monday blues.
Right.
And boy, do we have the guest for you today. He's been on before, but so thrilled to have Admiral John Stuffelbeam back with us. John is a retired admiral, naval commander, a former operations planner on the joint staff, senior vice president of the NJS Group LCC, which is a crisis and strategic communications company. And he also has a fantastic blog on leadership at johnstuffelbeam.blogspot.com. Hi, John. How are you?
Good afternoon, Mary Lynn. I'm just terrific. It's nice to be back in Champaign, Urbana.
I guess I left out the part about professional football player, too.
Yeah, that goes back a long way before many people were born.
You've fought fighter jets, and you've been through Champaign-Urbana. At one time in your career, you kind of came through this area.
That's right.
And you say it's a wonderful. I think the last time we had you on, you called it God's country.
Exactly.
You must have really had a good time.
Any place in the Midwest is great compared to Washington, D.C. in terms of character.
And you were saying, you know, Diane was just talking about the weather here, but you guys are getting really bad storms there.
Yeah, apparently there's a pretty big system that's moving up from the southwest that's clobbering a good part of the country. And so we're under some threat of storms here as well.
Okay, well, hopefully we don't get zapped and the phone line breaks up. But if it does, we'll give you a call back. Why don't we talk about this? It's Motivation Monday. You've got you've done a series on your blog at johnstuffelbeam.blogspot.com about leadership. And in part three, you talk about what the secret to success in life is. Well, first of all, how did you discover what the secret to success in life is?
Trial and error. By virtue of being a fighter pilot in the Navy and having traveled all over the world, I think there's something like 195 countries, plus or minus a few, and I'm sure that I've been to the majority of them, and seen so many different societies. And what I had come to watch was a lot of struggles of a lot of people. And you could imagine being in the military and given the kinds of orders that we are from time to time, mm-hmm. we end up in places that aren't so friendly with some very difficult problems.
Yeah.
And as I started to appreciate that there were people in some very dire situations who were thriving, and I just found that fascinating and wondered as much as I could, how does that happen? So in sort of studying that, not with anything formal other than just being there and being around them, mm-hmm. Is just to find out what is it that's keeping you going. And I come to believe that life is just a very fragile balance of a lot of factors. And a large part of it is, how do you deal with the negative things? Because in balance, there's always going to be great things that happen and there's going to be bad things that happen. So in balance, how do you keep it all kind of on an equilibrium? How do you keep it going?
And what do you think the secret to success in life is?
I think the secret to success in life is being able to take any challenge that's thrown at you and find an opportunity in it.
So whether it's a challenge you wanted, whether it's a challenge you didn't want, regardless, when it comes your way, you find where you can grow from it.
Exactly. And in my career as a Navy fighter pilot and as a naval officer, often I was given a variety of challenges. Most of the time, nothing I could ever have predicted. And what I found was a great sense of reward and even exhilaration in doing difficult things that I had never done before, much less had asked to do. And in doing them well, I found this tremendous kind of a euphoria of reward. And it got to the point where I actually started to look forward to, what's the next challenge around the corner? Because I want to get my teeth into something new.
Hmm. And that is an amazing attitude. But it almost seems like some people are bred for that. Some people, you know, I know people who will work out, and they work out past the point of pain because they look forward to that. I, on the other hand, I'm sore. I think I'll take a break. How do you, is there a certain breed of people who will, you know, take on any challenge fearlessly? Or, you know, if you are somebody who sees that, was there a time when you saw a challenge as negative and you feared it and you weren't looking forward to it?
Oh, absolutely. I'm not a natural person to be able to take on anything and do well with it. You know, the old silver spoon kind of a theory. That's just not where I always was. my life was a series of challenges that got progressively tougher. And what I found was that each one kind of prepared me better for the next one. Mm-hmm. And what I realized is that you have to expect the unexpected. You don't have to know what it is. You just have to be prepared to know that something is going to happen. And probably one of the best pieces of advice I ever got in life was, you're going to be handed a bad deal. So what are you going to do about it?
Can you give us an example of a challenge that came your way, John, where, you know, you felt that overwhelmed feeling and you had to just start doing those little bite-sized chunks to get through it?
Sure. I've got plenty of those.
Okay, great.
Early on in my life, here I am at the Naval Academy. I'm a senior in college. I have spent all of my teenage years that I could remember back to wanting to be a Navy pilot on flying off aircraft carriers, following in my father's footsteps. My senior year in college, I'm told that I am no longer physically qualified to be a pilot. So everything that I had worked for in my mind for all those years up until that age of about 22, mm-hmm. I just saw it all crashing down. With that facing me, I thought, well, if I can't be a pilot, what else can I do? I did two things. One was I said, I'm just not going to accept this other than as an answer for right now. So what does it look like a year from now or even a year from then? And so I found myself reapplying for flight training every year until, turns out, 3 years later, because of the wind down of the Vietnam conflict, which started this great drawdown, all of a sudden they needed to have pilots again, and I found I could get a waiver. During that time, what was I going to do? Well, I knew that I was a good football player, and in fact, I had been signed into the National Football League, and I thought, well, if I can't be a fighter pilot, why don't I go be a football player? And so I went into the NFL and found that I could have had a successful career there until I got to the decision point of, well, maybe now I can go back to flight training.
Mm-hmm.
So one opportunity opened a door for another, and I eventually got to the door that I originally wanted to, but added the experience of playing professional football in the meantime.
And you played for what team?
Detroit.
And you were a punter?
I was a punter.
And so was the physical training for football, was that what helped you get back into the physical shape you needed to be to be a Navy pilot?
No. I was found not physically qualified because I had hay fever. You know, seasonal allergic rhinitis is
really
a medical term. And they said, well, if anybody's got any kind of a medical malady whatsoever, they're going to be physically disqualified. So I never got over it, but they needed pilots. And
okay.
They said, okay, this is no longer disqualifying.
And if you hadn't been trained, if you'd have just given up, if you'd have accepted no for the answer, which you could have done,
right,
then that opportunity never would have presented itself again.
Exactly. And as a teenage boy, many of us look forward to the chance of trying to be a professional athlete. And so now I never sit in front of the TV and play I Wonder If. I got a shot. I got to try it out.
And was it hard to walk away from that opportunity?
Yeah, because financially it was very lucrative.
Mm-hmm.
But in my heart of hearts, I realized that long term I would have a much better career as a pilot than I would as a football player.
Wow. Well, that's a fascinating story. That really is. Boy, I tell you what, though, getting tackled, I don't know.
Yeah, there'd be a few times looking up at the top of the dome and wondering, is this worth it?
I can imagine. I'll tell you, and this kind of stuff just gets me all jazzed up,
yeah.
John. I love talking about this stuff.
I do, too, which is why I've now made it a career.
Well, yeah, you have. And in fact, the NJS group, what is that, John?
Strategic communications, crisis management, strategic messaging for the media, all kind of kludged together, providing an expertise to individuals and corporations and companies that need some help working through difficult challenges.
Okay. And that's what we're talking about now. In fact, you say the secret to success in life is to take any challenge that comes your way, good or bad, and to find the opportunity and those challenges. And you've kind of told us about, you know, some personal experience that you've had going through this. And there's a, you say that there's, in your blog post at johnstuffelbeam.blogspot.com, you say there's a selling model that works for you when taking on a new challenge. What is that model? How does it work?
It was a trial and error realization over a number of years of how I was doing my work, how I was doing my business. And I found out later that there actually was a company that uses this internally as a model. They call it, this is Procter & Gamble's selling model for the 21st century.
Okay.
And if you broke it down into an inverted pyramid, what you'd see is that 40% of a sale or selling is based on confidence or trust,
mm-hmm.
30% based on need, 20% on presentation, and then just 10% for closing or referrals. And so what I had lived and how I found this to be quite instructive for me, and therefore I use it with clients, is I learned in combat that the greatest and most important attribute that individuals have in supporting each other to succeed on the battlefield is trust.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't establish trust in your ability to lead, they won't follow you. If you can't establish trust in them getting the jobs done, it just won't happen for you.
Mm-hmm.
Needs. You need to understand what the needs of your customers, your clients, your charges, whatever they may be. You need to understand what those needs are. And I found that I organized my normal work day as sort of one-thirds. One-third of understanding what my bosses needed from me, one-third of what my peers and subordinates needed from me, and then one-third for what I had to do for myself, including even critical thinking.
And I'm sorry, and how would you do? Would you just write that down? Would you just say, here's what I need to do for my bosses, here's questions I have for my staff, and here's what I have to do for me?
I could do this on my own, but actually it was pretty easy by just asking questions.
Okay.
I could go to people who work for me and say, what do you need to get this done? Or
mm-hmm.
what is it that you need to understand this better? If I didn't know, it's something I needed to take uphill and find out.
And I interrupted you. So that was about the presentation.
Yeah, and presentation is only 20% of selling. Often there are many people in sales who believe that presentation is everything. But in reality, it's quite small. And what it really amounts to is taking and the understanding of what you have and matching it with the needs of somebody who needs something from you. That forms the core of a presentation, matching what you have to what they need or your product to their needs.
Okay.
And then lastly is what in sales term they call closing. What I have learned to is just, I would say, call referrals. If I was able to help you, who else do you know who needs help? And then it gives me another place to go. Or if I'm selling a service and people like it, then would you mind mentioning that to somebody else you know who might need something like this?
Let's try and put this into examples. Let's say I'm an employee. You're my manager. Let's say I need to come to you with a question because I'm having a hard time getting something done. What is it as a manager of a project that you liked to hear from the people on your team?
Well, the most important thing I really want to hear is what really is their problem. Because I've come to find out in the battlefield that the person closest to the action is the one whose opinion counts most. And so having an employee that's got a question or a problem that needs to be resolved, I want to hear it unfiltered.
Mm-hmm.
I don't appreciate being attacked, but I need to understand more about the how. You know, the what is the problem rather than how is it being transmitted to me. And so I want to create as a manager an environment where there is no fear to come and ask me any question.
Okay. And what about for employees who, let's say you're a manager and you don't seem to be able to get the team on board. It's kind of discombobulated. What as a manager can you do better to try and get those honest opinions out from your team?
Well, what I tend to do is to find out who are sort of the critical pieces, the critical cogs. Where are those particular employees who are responsible for something and that responsibility is not coming through?
Mm-hmm.
I'll pull them together, and the first thing that I would suggest, one thing that I have done in the past with those that I worked with, is to say, I have a problem. This is what I'm responsible to get done. This is not happening. I assume that it's my fault because you must not have the resources to be able to put your piece of it together for me. Where is it that I am falling short?
Okay.
And when I give them that opportunity for them to explain to me, all of a sudden it starts to open up. And after you listen, actively listen, and not attack any particular messenger and create any sense of anybody's got the problem, it's my problem, they're more than willing to come to you with problems if you're willing to take responsibility for them.
All right. What if you're an employee, and I think a lot of people are going through this, since the recession, boss comes up to you and, you know, you're already doing four things and the boss says, hey, man, we need you to do, we need you to take this on too. And you're overwhelmed and you really can't say no. What do you do when you're that employee? You've just gotten this big new challenge. You're already overwhelmed. What would you recommend somebody in that position do? Because I'll bet you've been through that before.
Yeah, I have. And what I discovered is that if everything is a priority, then nothing is a priority.
Mm.
And so what I did in that environment was to prioritize as I saw it. What's the most important to what's the least? Took it to my boss and said, I see this as the most important thing I need to do to help you, and this is something that I can afford to let slide for a while. Do you agree? And I would get corrections as to whether or not I had it right or not. And if I could get some buy-in on what was more important than other, then what I wanted to make sure they understood was, okay, I will prioritize my time and effort on getting this done, but you just need to understand that means I'll have less time and priority to get that done.
Okay. That's perfect.
Good.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people just clam up. They feel resentful that they're being asked to do yet one more thing, feel like they're not appreciated, and then don't communicate.
Well, it goes back to fear.
Yeah.
You need to have some amount of fear to get motivated, but too much fear does shut you down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was another thing you say in your fantastic blog post about how sometimes fear is the ultimate motivator.
And it's absolutely the case. I mean, think of it in terms of competition. Put it in terms we all understand, which is generally sports. Keen competition brings out the best in the competitors. And it's a fear of losing, it's a fear of failure, of letting down a teammate that causes you to perform better than you may have otherwise done so.
Sometimes I don't even know if it's fear. Sometimes I think it's just because you know you've got to be on your best game, it elevates you.
Yeah. The truth is that I believe that stress, a term I think is often abused, stress is really nothing more than just fear.
Mm-hmm.
And if you learn to deal with it, which is most important, is you have to face it. If you learn to deal with it, you get better at mastering it. But without a certain level of stress, you don't perform better. And it's for all kinds of reasons. It's the chemicals that flood into your brain. It's the adrenaline that hits your muscles. It's all these things that stress needs to provide for you to do better. And it is really just fear.
If folks want to find you online, and your blog is wonderful. I've been sharing that with all kinds of people, my dad, my husband, and so many more. I'll post the, on our Facebook page, MyConnectFM, I will post the link to this particular blog post, and that way people can find you there. Where else can people find you online, John?
I've got a number of websites. NJSgroup.net gets into the crisis and strategic communications. I have a partner I work with in Canada. Together we have a company called On Message Media, which is dealing with the strategic issues that anybody may have to face with the media. Usually it's a bad thing, and how to deal with that.
Did you get a call from Anthony Weiner?
No.
Okay.
Not yet, anyway.
All right.
And another one is johnstoffelbeam.com. And any one of those three has a way to get a hold of me, because I'm always glad to hear from anybody who's got a problem that they need help with. I don't solve people's problems. I help them figure out how to solve it. And I can talk about it in speeches, and I can coach it, I can mentor it, and I find that that's really what my passion is these days.
Well, I'd love to have you back and keep an eye on your blog, and we'll have you back and, get some more motivation.
Thanks very much, Mary Lynn. Enjoyed it.
All right. You have a wonderful week, John. Thank you so much.
You as well, and be happy.
All right. I am. I just talked with you. All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I didn't want to let him go.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
It's all good.
You know, you think about people that you'd love to just be able to sit down and spend a whole day with, and I mean, to have my notepad with me the whole time.
That's right.
Great stuff. So,
yeah, some good nuggets. Even his dad's advice of be responsible for you're responsible for your own happiness. Love that.
Well, we'll keep the good feelings going here. I've got some Mary Lynn inspiration coming up for you next. It's 1235 at 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM.